Well, good evening. My name is Melinda. I serve as a member of this community and as pastor. It is wonderful to have you all here. Just some announcements as we get going in. There is a sign up for tomorrow's service that has a space for special music, or you can play along. I just saw instruments coming off the bus, and I know Christmas time is often a time when pastors are like, come on, bring your musical gifts, so I don't want you to miss that, and I would love for you to bring your musical gifts if you want to, so you can talk to me after the service or sign up on the sheet. Tonight's offering during the service is going to the Tavern Learning Center, a program that facilitates learning for adults, post-high school folk with physical and mental disabilities. And there's serves some 85 people in many ways, helping them with life skills and helping them to learn to live their lives fully. So that is where our offering is going. What else do you need to know? First of all, I want you to know that I love the sound of kids. We all love the sound of kids, and just let them be them, okay? So do not worry about, you know, just I want you to be fully at home. If they want to move about the cabin, let them move about the cabin. And for communion, whatever your practice is for communion at home, and even if this is just a place where they want to participate, we welcome that as well. So please know. All are welcome to participate as they feel comfortable. We're doing something special because tonight is the story of Mary and her connection with Gabriel and her reaction to that interaction with the angel Gabriel. And she will be speaking the words of the Magnificat, or perhaps she sung it. It's written as if it were a song. Well, we too will sing it. If you were here last night, it's the same version of the Magnificat, which is "My soul proclaims your greatness, oh God." That one, yep. We'll be doing that during the gospel, so it will be pretty evident to you, but I will motion for you. So don't stand right away as the gospel starts. We're going to wait for the Magnificat. Okay? We do that? Okay. The first hymn is hymn number 266. It is written both in Spanish and English, and I invite you to sing one or the other or bounce back and forth. Let us stand together and join in singing our opening hymn. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep.
But a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
God saw that the light was good. And now the true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. This light has put on flesh and is born among us. May Jesus' light and life be with you all. up your power, O Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that binds us, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with our holy parent and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart.
You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
Shepherd King who, like David, will come from the small town of Bethlehem. Ephratah refers to the area around Bethlehem. This king will restore Israel and bring peace. New Testament writers understood this passage to be referring to Jesus. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore they shall be given up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of the ruler's kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and the ruler shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now the ruler shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Thank you.
Our story of Mary this evening begins with her encounter with the angel Gabriel, and this part of the story will be sung by two members from our community.
The angel Gabriel from heaven hailed, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, the all holy maiden Mary, most highly favored, Gloria.
As the angel Gabriel finished telling Mary of this great thing that God was doing in her, he continued, "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
So proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant, dear, and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you. Your kindness ever.
I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood on the north side of Chicago, which meant that the seventh grade was a year-long party. Because all my friends were turning 13, and when you turn 13, it means that it's time to be bar mitzvahed, or in the case of the women, the girls, you were bat mitzvahed. You would study and prepare a large section of the Torah, and then actually chant it in the Hebrew in front of all your friends and extended family. I have female friends that have gone on to be rabbis as well. But I have to say, in the Jewish world, it wasn't always so for female folk. I got a glimpse of what it perhaps once was when I went to my friend Lenny's bar mitzvah. He belonged to an Orthodox Jewish community, and his bar mitzvah was really, really long, far longer than everybody else's. But here's the thing. The women were not allowed to sit in the main room. That was only for the men. The women were sort of tucked in kind of this alcove, literally behind a screen, so I physically could not see my friend Lenny practicing his memorization of the Torah and chanting it for all that were present. We sort of sat in the side compartment, and you won't be surprised to know that we didn't pay attention very much to the long, long bar mitzvah. And actually, somebody went out for bagels, and nobody seemed to care. And we sat and ate through the ceremony. Now, that was just my personal, more modern-day version of this dichotomy. Now, dial the clock back some 2,000 years to the time of Mary and the birth of her son, Jesus. Women in the first century were not allowed to study scripture. It is said that the Torah, which is the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah should be burned before being handed over to a woman in that day and age. Women were not allowed to recite prayers in any public way. Generally speaking, women were not free, they were not honored, they were not respected. Their place, their realm, was as property hidden away in the home, where they were often unseen and forgotten. But not Mary. This 14-year-old kid was not invisible, and this made her dangerous. Did you know that her response to God, that we now call the Magnificat, because in the Latin, that's the first word of this part of Scripture. Did you know that the Magnificat has been publicly banned? I just learned this from somebody in our community here. According to author Jason Porterfield, during the British rule of India, the Magnificat was prohibited from being sung in church. And in the 1980s, Guatemala's government decided that Mary's words about God's preferential love for the poor were too dangerous and revolutionary. The song had been creating quite a stirring amongst Guatemala's impoverished masses. Mary's words were inspiring the Guatemalan poor to believe that change was indeed possible. Thus, their government banned any public recitation of Mary's words. And during that same period of time in Argentina, the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo, whose children all disappeared at a time of state terrorism under a military dictatorship, these mothers placed the words of the Magnificat on posters and hung them throughout the capital plaza. And the military junta in charge then outlawed any public display of Mary's song. Her words are dangerous. Richard Swanson, who wrote Provoking the Gospel of Luke, calls Mary a resistor. I love that. Do not think that her expression of radical humility, which we do hear in the Magnificat, do not think that her expression of radical humility toward God has anything to do with some meek and mild demeanor to be expected from this young, fiery one. No. She takes this amazing thing that God is doing in and through her, and she actually amplifies it. These promises of a Savior, Mary says, are not just for her, They are for generations upon generations. Mary may be lifted up by becoming the mother of Jesus, but his saving power will also lift up the lowly of every circumstance. And she promises the hungry will be filled. This is amazing to hear, but remember, her words are dangerous, and this is where that plays out. There will also be some tearing down if you've paid attention to the Magnificat. Her words proclaim that the proud will be scattered, the powerful will be brought down from their thrones, and the rich will be sent empty away. Think about that. Her voice, her prophetic voice, is ageless. I mean, think of today. Know any systems of power where this kind of reordering might be helpful? Anyone? And can you imagine how these systems of power might respond to people embodying the words of the Magnificat? Dangerous indeed. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor and activist who stood up to the Nazi regime and died for it, he wrote of Mary's words in one of his sermons, saying, "The song of Mary is the oldest Advent hymn," and that's true. "It is at once the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary Advent hymn ever sung." He says, "This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary who we sometimes see in paintings. This song has none of the sweet, nostalgic, or even playful tones of some of our Christmas carols. It is instead hard, strong, inexorable song about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind. Powerless, anyway, if we think we can go it alone." These words of Mary may be dangerous, but I also believe them to be incredibly hopeful. I mean, watch what she does. Mary goes to the home of her kinswoman, Elizabeth, during her first trimester of pregnancy, hoping to goodness she wasn't nauseous, because that would be a way to travel. Clearly, the energy between these two women was life-giving for her, right? It is in the encouraging presence of this strong matriarch, Elizabeth, that Mary finds her voice. I was speaking in the sermon last week. I always connected this Magnificat that it came right after talking to the angel Gabriel, but it doesn't. She travels all the way to Elizabeth's home, and it is standing in the security and strength of that relationship with Elizabeth that she finds her voice. And as Elizabeth's child, John, leaps within her womb, a dance of greeting for Mary's child within hers, it is then that Mary finds her voice. "My soul proclaims, my spirit rejoices." Now, Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. So think about that. If you know how pregnancy goes, right about the time when Mary's pregnancy would become physically a public thing, right? That is when she returns home. Remember, I said that Mary was not invisible, and that's what made her dangerous. It was when her pregnancy began to show itself. That is when she returns home. That is when this young, unwed, pregnant, peasant girl, in essence, faces the music of public scrutiny.
In the oven. It's hot.
And I find this hopeful. How strong our voices can be, people. How prophetic and wise if we let them. We have the capacity to speak change into being. We need not be wealthy or powerful. We need not be established or learned. We need only receive what God is already doing in and through us. We need only claim the purpose that we are being invited to embody already. No matter our lot in life, we have the right to call out the injustices of this world and declare that there be a reckoning. Hopeful? Yes. And dangerous. But whoever said being faithful was safe? continue now with the Canticle of Returning. It's found hymn number 723, and I invite you to stand. You to remain standing for the prayers as we await the coming of Christ. We pray and hope for the church, the world, and for all of creation. Each petition will end with, "Hear us, O God," and I invite you to respond, "Your mercy is great." Faithful God, you keep your promises. Move your church to sing like Mary and rejoice like Elizabeth. Teach us to sing of your faithfulness in all our days. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ancient of days, with joy, you danced over the waters and birthed creation. Give us joy in caring for the soil beneath us, the water around us, and the sky above us. And this day we especially remember our brothers and sisters in Indonesia suffering yet from another tragic storm. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Your mercy is great.
Prince of Peace, your sacrifice gives abundant life to all. Raise up leaders in every nation whose goals are health and well-being for all people and creation. Grant them wisdom and compassion to serve as you would have them serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Good Shepherd, you feed your flock. Fill the hungry with good things. Lift up the lowly. Accompany the refugee. Comfort the lonely. Heal the sick. Send us in haste to surround them with your love. And we ask your special attention upon those that are suffering from the time of our government shutdown as we seek to figure out how to fund different things for our country. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Love incarnate, you are with us at the manger, on the cross, and on the resurrection road. Walk with all who live with depression, grief, or heartache in this season. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers, those unspoken as well, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. Anxious, but we continue to worship now with our tithes and offerings.
I was going to go back there. That's okay.
God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven singing, we come together.
Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore you.
The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will and her fiery capacity to speak truth. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth and his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming. And let the people say, "Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus."
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us and bless this meal, and may your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people and fill us with your light, and bring the gift of peace on earth. And let the people say, "Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit."
All praise and glory to you, Holy One, keeper of the covenants, word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join in singing and saying now the prayer that Jesus taught us. And again, you are invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever version you are most comfortable. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, for Jesus is the host, and it is he that invites you to come. You may be seated. And I'll give you a few instructions for how we do communion here at Holden Village. It also is our desire that there be no dietary barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers. So know that there will be a line of us up here. The first person in the line will have a small container with gluten-free wafers. Then you can, or you can come to me with the bread. Then there will be an open chalice that you can either choose to drink from or dip the piece of bread that you've just received from me, or the gluten-free wafer. Otherwise, there's the next station will be a basket of empty cups, and then you can either have wine or grape juice poured for you, and then the last person will have an empty basket to put your empty cup. So again, please know that you're welcome. If you desire to have a blessing, you can either come up with your arms crossed or just kind of held at your side. Children, it's always hard to know different traditions, so if they receive communion and would like it, have them bring those hands nice and up far so I know to bless them with that. Otherwise, I will give them a blessing. So again, all has been prepared. And thank you for being here, and I invite you to come to the holy table.
Join in singing 277, 277.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in singing our closing hymn. It's hymn number 282. Direct your ways in peace. May you abound in love for one another and for all. And strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Holy God, Holy Trinity, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.